I've earned the second level Bally's card because of my trip this time, I think.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think the second level card gets you anything anywhere, but...
Still.
Something. Free parking, I think, it gets me. Howdy, it's Friday, October 24th, 2025, and this is episode 265 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Not being hungover at the moment is pretty nice.
are we not hungover, though?
It took a while, I have to say, to get over that one.
For me, mistakes of that level have not been made in many, many years.
But... Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll get into it, but wow. Wow, did we go overboard on Saturday? So, you know, last episode, there was just no plan at all. And apparently the plan was just to drink.
Yeah.
Just to go everywhere and drink everything.
I was extremely reasonable with my alcohol consumption at every single place I went to, except resorts. If you take resorts I was totally fine.
I thought you were going to say you were completely reasonable with your alcohol consumption at every place we went to, except that we went to so many places.
No, just resorts. Resorts where I had 5 drinks and 2 of them were cocktails. That was a mistake.
I don't think I went nuts anywhere.
Oh, no. Resorts killed me.
I think it's just that we hopped around all over the place. And also, even with a pretty big dinner, I don't think I ate enough food.
Yeah.
Like, I think just percentage of calories that were alcohol for the day was like 50%.
When I woke up at 1 a.m. and was pondering whether or not I was going to throw up or not, I think I felt like I ate way too much food at dinner, frankly. It was just like, I was so full and drunk and it was awful.
Yeah, that's a terrible feeling.
It was terrible.
That's an awful feeling. So that's a great little preview for our trip, so you can see the direction the trip is going.
I did not throw up, by the way, so it was great success.
I have a would you rather based on drinking.
Sure.
And really, really based on your drinking experience.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather have a good cocktail that you pay for at, say, Super Freako or another good restaurant bar?
Yep.
Or would you rather have a terrible cocktail that's free?
Would you say like Caesar's Old Fashioned level cocktail?
Hypothetically, like a Caesar's Old Fashioned.
Perhaps the worst cocktail I've ever had in my life.
I'll throw in there, I also had strawberry daiquiri with whipped cream at a video poker machine, I think, which they do have at Caesar's. Last time I was at Tropicana, it was not on the menu. And it was liquid and ice, not blended, which it's normally blended, right? Am I losing my mind?
No, yeah, it should be like a smoothie, right?
Yeah. No, it was not a smoothie. There was no blending happened. And it was quite bad. So Caesar's just failing on the on the drinks on the casino floor for sure. So which one? Good cocktail that you pay for, free cocktail that is bad.
Maybe the X factor is the third option, which is just free beer, which is always fine.
No, because you don't, because that's too easy a choice. This needs to be a difficult choice.
For me, it's not a difficult choice at all. Like, truly, only for one person would it be a difficult choice, right? I'd much rather have the good cocktail.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go free, actually, because you're not a man who normally is big on the cocktails, and you like playing at the casino.
That old-fashioned was truly heinous. Why I drank it all? I mean, it's because I was already wasted, but...
Yeah.
Like, truly the worst old-fashioned in history, right? You had some, right?
Yes. Same mistake with the strawberry daiquiri. Like, I was a quarter of the way through it. I was already pretty well served, and I was like, I should throw this out. Why am I still drinking this? But I didn't.
It brought me no joy. Like, one, like, alcohol at that point was giving me negative utility.
Correct.
Having it. Two, that drink was absolutely vile, so the drinking process was unpleasant as well. So I don't know why I drank it all.
Yeah.
Terrible.
All right. Yeah, so I'm clearly also going with paying for a cocktail. Yep. And... to be honest, I know everybody's like, you can't pay for drinks at the casino. No, not everybody's like that, because clearly lots of people pay for drinks. But there was certainly a feeling of, you know, part of the joy of being in the casino is getting free drinks. But you're paying for those drinks. And every time I sit at a video poker bar, I'm like, oh, that was a $50 beer.
I mean, I certainly paid for those drinks in other ways, too.
Yeah. At 1 a.m, as discussed.
By just feeling horrible. Yep. And just having to lie down in the bathroom. Is great.
Never good. Anytime you gotta lie on the hotel room floor in the bathroom.
It was a bad situation.
So let's get into the trip report. We've done the would you rather, clearly one of our best would you rathers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that happened that was hugely surprising is I beat you there, because it sounded like you were gonna beat me by a few hours, but It did not happen.
No, I think you left earlier than you thought you were.
I left earlier than I thought. I think you left late, and then you had to stop at Aldi for a while, as always.
Oh, well, I needed cash, too. So that Chase and Aldi stop in, I don't even know what the town is, Manahawkin or something.
Uh-huh.
It's only like 35 minutes outside of Atlantic City. But that's a great stop, because I get my cash, and then I also can get some Red Thunder fake Red Bull, which is only like $1 a can instead of like $3 a can for Red Bull. Or in the casino. $8 for Red Bull.
I remember destroying one of those like 32-ounce waters that you had on Saturday night, which is probably the only reason I'm alive right now. So.
Yeah, so the, also 79 cents for a 32-ounce water.
That was good.
Which feels expensive at Aldi, but feels practically free compared to the casino gift shop. So that was a good decision. Then I always like to have a little, you know, dessert in the room in case I can't make it to any place that has something decent. I don't include Taza in anything that has something decent.
Mm-hmm.
So I got myself a nice chocolate bar, dark chocolate with almonds. It's actually not great, the Aldi chocolate bar, I have to say. That didn't stop me from eating it at 2 in the morning. But that was the Aldi stuff.
You eat more than 2 in the morning than a bunch of caffeine or whatever.
Yeah, sugar, caffeine. So yeah. We got there on Saturday. You beat me by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Went and parked at the Noise Arts Garage.
As always.
And then what? Went to Bally's?
Yeah, went to Bally's. I checked in. This was like, what, 1:30 or something? So.
And they let you check in?
They did, because they're not fascists, unlike the Caesars properties.
I texted you when you said you checked in. I said, what sorcery is this? Because that just, as a Caesars player now exclusively, it's just shocking.
Yep.
The idea that you can check in before 4 o'clock on the dot.
It's truly unbelievable. So, yep, I checked in at the Bally's. You came over to my room as well and put your stuff in my room, because certainly they were not going to allow us to check in early at the Caesars.
No, not without paying $30 or $40.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got there, parked at Caesars, took my stuff over to your place, and then we headed up the boardwalk.
Yeah, went to the Irish pub first.
Yeah, sat down. Good crowd at the Irish pub on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep. First time you've been in a while, because I know I've been pretty much every trip the last few trips.
Yeah, we were there for maybe, what, 20 minutes? Each had a Guinness?
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was very pleasant.
They truly pour the Guinness the proper way, where they leave it for a little bit and then pour the top on it. And mm-hmm. It's delicious. Just a Guinness poured the right way sitting at the Irish pub is a great way to start the trip.
I have to say, he forgot about us for a while. So it really did sit for a while. But...
Yes. Not only did he forget about us, the bartender at the Irish pub, but he came over.
I think, he's like, whose are these?
Yeah. And saw the two beers and asked the other bartender whose beers they were.
Right.
And then after a brief sort of confusion between the two of them,
he was like oh wait, they're mine.
It's those two guys over there. Yes.
Yeah, we stand out a lot, obviously, easily memorable.
And then we left Irish pub out into the sun, singeing our retinas, because Irish pub is so dark and it was so bright outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we headed over to Resorts. What was the reason for going to Resorts? Why did you feel the need to be there?
Well, for one thing, it was double match play or whatever, but they sent me a free entry to the VIP lounge at Resorts, and I said we should go and check it out and see what it's like, because I'd never been in there.
Resorts was very crowded.
Four Resorts, I think.
Specifically, the line for the Resorts Players Club.
Yeah, so they were giving away free cruises.
Yeah, if you earned 45 tier. I don't know if that's true for everyone. For me, the email said earn 45 tier credits.
So I wasn't interested in that, but yeah, the line was bananas, but I needed to get my match play. So I think we got there and we played video poker together for a little bit, and I lost $100 immediately, as always with video poker.
I also did quite bad at video poker.
So I went and stood in the line at the Players Club, and at some point when I was towards the front of the line, apparently their link they had with the cruise ship system went down, so everything stopped and people were getting angry, so that was great. But then eventually I did manage to get my double match play and went and played a bunch of craps and actually won.
Oh, nice. And drank a lot of Miller Lite in the process.
Yeah, I had an absolutely huge roll again. It was like my second huge roll in a row after having a huge roll in Blackhawk. So that was good. And I drank, three Miller Lites, because literally the waitress was around every 3 minutes. It was incredible.
It's pretty good. I didn't see a waitress come around when I was playing video poker in slots.
Yeah, certainly when I was in video poker, I didn't see anyone. But the craps table, yeah, all the time.
While you were doing that, I was playing Monopoly Express, which I like a lot, except at the nickel level, which is only $1.50 a spin.
Uh-huh.
I got just nothing. It was bad. And I had talked to my brother about this beforehand, about pitfalls to avoid in the casino, and especially with playing the slots. And he was saying one of the things that he falls into is playing some slot machine and then you lose your $20 and then you're like, yeah, but it would be so cool to get this bonus. Like, say you're playing that pig bonus game where the pigs are getting fat. And you're like, yeah, but it would be so cool if I hit two of these pigs at the same time. So I'm just going to like put in another $20 and see. And so same thing. I was like, well, but I didn't even get a train bonus. It would be so cool. So I put in five 20s, one at a time. Play that down. Oh, okay, I'll put in another 20 because I just want to get this train bonus. And then I lost $100 in like 10 minutes. So that was not great. And I didn't even get one Miller Lite.
That's upsetting. Yeah. No, so I had gotten two or whatever, and I ordered one right when you came over. So I had to chug the last one, if you remember.
Yeah. I did have $50 of slot play, 25 doubled to another 25. Mm-hmm. So I turned that into like $33. So that helped a little bit.
Yep.
But nickel slots, man. I think my theoretical at resorts was probably like $2 loss. Except that I lost like $140.
And I actually won a little bit because of craps. So that was nice. So anyway, we went over to the lounge and used my free lounge passes to get in. And I have to say, like, I don't know what your expectations were. Mine were pretty low and it beat it by quite a bit. I thought it was quite nice.
I thought it was pretty nice. It was crowded in there. Although
it was pretty crowded.
We got seated right away. We got served extremely fast. I don't think our butts were even in the seats before the waiter was over.
Our waiter was incredible.
Yeah, so quickly each got an old fashioned. You went up and got food while I sat at the table because I didn't want someone to come grab our table before the drinks were sitting there. And it was clear that somebody was there. And then you came back with food. And by the time I got up there, the highlight on the menu, the pork loin or something, was gone.
Yeah. Salt and Parmesan crusted pork was delicious, by the way. Absolutely incredible.
So there were five people in front of me in the line lamenting the lack of pork.
And when we left, they were actually still there waiting for pork.
They were still standing off to the side waiting. So I kept thinking like
30 minutes later.
Right. Like I'll just go up and get it once it's restocked. And it just never...
It never got restocked.
Got restocked in the time that we were there.
I thought the food was pretty decent though. Especially the hot food. The desserts were kind of meh, I think. But I thought that everything I had, the pork was really good. I think they had some other hot food that was also quite good.
I'll disagree. I didn't think the food was very good. But I didn't get the pork. So I missed the pork, but I thought like the pasta dish was pretty gross.
Mm-hmm. I thought the pasta was good.
And then other than that, I had like green beans and...
Yeah, I had green beans. They had like macaroni too, maybe, right?
And then like a little salad bar.
Yep.
But it's a very small buffet.
That's small. That's small.
Not a lot of stuff. And then there's like a dessert station on the other side.
Yeah, I thought that was meh.
So yeah, I wasn't so high on the food. I thought the service was great.
The drink was very good. I thought our old fashions were very good, which I got two of because I'm an idiot. So
well, you got two of because the waiter came back after you finished your first one. And he said, do you want another drink? And before you could even answer, he walked away and was like, yeah, why not? And we were sort of sitting there wondering, I guess he's just bringing it.
It was incredible.
He didn't take an answer, but he certainly seemed to give you an answer. And he did come back with a second one.
Oh, yeah. They were good, though. They had like four cherries each or something in them.
Mine didn't have that many. I don't know.
Both of mine had four.
Wow. They like you better than me.
I know.
I wouldn't say it's a good old fashioned, but it's certainly good for like a lounge or a casino bar, which is what the standard should be.
I thought it was very good.
You know, I'm sounding very down on the resorts lounge here, but I actually think it's, like you said, surprisingly nice for resorts. You know, if you had another lounge pass, I'd be all about it.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I will say that I thought it was the best lounge that we went to on this trip. So,
oh, wow. I couldn't disagree more, but we'll get to that.
Really? Wow. I'm shocked.
I think that's an absurd take, but we'll get to it.
Okay.
So that's pretty much resorts, right? Like we left the lounge. We went and checked in at Caesars after that, right?
We checked into Caesars.
I did the room type assigned on check-in.
And she was like, oh, yes, only Forum Towers left. Truly, every single Centurion and Ocean Tower are spoken for.
I asked at check-in, I was like, is there any way I can avoid Forum Tower? And she was like, no, it's the only thing open. And by open, she meant not sold out. But I will say, we went up to the Forum Tower room and I opened the door and I saw real light, sunlight. Not a lot of it, but it was not overlooking the lobby. You know, everybody complains about the lobby overlooking rooms, partly because of the noise. The difference it makes between having actual sunlight in the room and having basically no light in the room is huge, just in terms of how you feel about how nice the room is. I thought the room was pretty nice. Like, I would be totally fine with that room again. The view was non-existent. I was overlooking a pretty beat up...
It was bad.
Ductwork HVAC unit sort of thing that was pretty gross.
It's the casino special. That's kind of what you are so overlooking.
But right, I didn't mind at all. I was so happy to not be overlooking the lobby.
Actually, I had a very nice view from my Bally's room.
You did. Your Bally's room is extremely nice. We didn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
In Bally's Tower, I thought you had a very, very nice room, like well-appointed, great view.
Just a perfect place to just be lying on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
At 1 a.m.
Correct. So then we went down, played a little video poker at Caesars. The pay tables are quite bad. at Caesar's.
Well, you played some video poker. I went to the Asia Room. I think I had a beer and truly the worst old fashioned that I've ever had in my life.
For some reason, I thought that was at Craps. That was at the...
Tiles. Yeah, it was Tiles.
How did Tiles go for you?
I think I was about even. So it was nice. I love playing Tiles at Caesars. I think it's a nice place to play. Yeah, I mean, the old fashioned was truly heinous. Stick to beer is my suggestion. Yeah, I think I did that for... It was probably an hour or two, I would think, before we went to... When do you think we went to Super Frigo?
I don't know.
By this time, I've lost all sense of time.
I want to say like 5:30 or 6.
No, it has to be later. Because we got to Jerry Longo's at 8, I remember, and they were like, come back at 8:30. Because surely we're full, even though it was empty then.
Correct.
And then we were like the last people at Jerry Longo's. So it must have been like 6:30 or 7 by this point.
Yeah, so we went to Super Frigo... sat at the bar. You got something called a Bergamotto Sour.
Which was, I remember being very good.
It was extremely good. I got a Butterscotch Mezcalita, which was also very good. I love just sitting at that bar and getting a cocktail. I know some people are like, oh, $16, $17, $18 for a cocktail. Like, that's crazy. A, it doesn't feel crazy at all to me compared to
New York.
New York bars. There are bars in Vegas where it's like, twice that. $30, $40
literally
for a
cocktail. Yeah.
So to me, those just seem like normal cocktail prices. If you're not into cocktails, I totally get it.
I mean, I'm not even really into cocktails, but I still think it's fine. So
right, I mean, I did also use comp dollars. They take one-to-one comps, which is great. So going there and being able to get a good cocktail with comp dollars, I think is just a great use of comp dollars. I love sitting at the bar. Like I said, I thought that was a great time. And then at this point, we're really pretty well served, and
yeah, that's definitely true.
Headed over to Bally's and went to Jerry Longo's, which they said they were full, but to come back at 8:30.
Right.
And then I immediately checked my phone, and it was like, I can make a reservation for now. I don't understand why, but it didn't matter. We came back at 8:30 and got right in.
Right. Just I played a little bit. I don't remember exactly the timing of everything I played in Bally's that night, but I know at some point I had played some craps. At some point I had played four card poker for a while, so. This is all during this day at some point before Jerry Longo's.
Yeah, when we were waiting for Jerry Longo's, I played some Bao Zhu Zhao Fu, which is the firecracker game that's all over the place. As we know, I'm a sucker because the firecrackers mean nothing. So this time I sat at an empty machine, which surely was empty because all of the firecrackers were at the very bottom rung. And I just hit bonus after bonus. It felt like every minute and a half, it was like, ding, 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 like you're filling up all the firecrackers and giving me a bonus.
I did see this in person, I can confirm.
Yeah, really nice session at the Bao Zhu Zhao Fu, which also, I knew it, but I needed that actual confirmation to see it in person of, it just does not matter. Like, don't bother even looking for what the firecrackers are. I know it looks cooler. It does not matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the game. It's fun when you get the bonus and these weird big birds fly by and they're just like, here's more money. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's the best. One of my favorite slots.
All right. So we go to Jerry Longo's.
Yeah. Went to Jerry Longo's, got some calamari, had to try a meatball, ate a bunch of bread.
A lot of bread. Yeah.
You got some sort of ravioli.
It was vegetarian. I don't know. I didn't have any meat in it, I think. I thought that was very good.
Yeah. I got the, it wasn't rigatoni or something else, but the bolognese. I thought it was very good also. I think all the food was, calamari was really good, meatball was good.
But at this point, I was not capable of making really refined judgments about how good or bad something was. But to me, I thought it was very good.
Right. In the moment, I definitely was like, this is excellent, but also I'm starving.
Oh. I ate a lot more at the resort's lounge, I think, than you did.
You did.
So I wasn't absolutely starving, but I had also, I think by this point, just drank way more than you had. So my judgment was also more messed up, probably.
Correct on both counts.
Yeah.
I didn't ever get any lunch at any point. So I was feeling it from the first Guinness at Irish Pub. We left Irish Pub and I was like, how am I already feeling this? And the day just went from there.
Of course, I had to stop at Earl of Sandwich on the way up. Yes. And I also had to get some pretzels and stuff from Wawa. So
you have to.
You have to.
One thing I'll say about Super Frigo is I was starving at the point that we were at Super Frigo. And so I'm looking at the menu because they had these little square pizzas that I really liked. And I was like, oh, I'll get one of those. We can split it. It'll be perfect. Not on the menu anymore. No more pizzas at the Super Frigo. So that was disappointing.
No more pizza.
But yeah, like I said, in the moment, I was thinking like, this is fantastic food at Jerry Longo's. Mm-hmm. But also in the back of my mind, I was like, I can't really give a true judgment of this food until I come back sober. I mean, I know that we had our Tony's Baltimore Grill experience where we went extremely drunk. And
it was
like,
just as good the second time.
And we were like, this is amazing. But surely it's not going to be good the second time. But it was. Tony's Baltimore Grill, by the way, extremely polarizing on the Facebook. Because I feel like people ask in the Facebook groups at least once a week where to go for pizza. And like three people immediately respond Tony's Baltimore Grill. And then a bunch of other people respond with vomit emojis. I think it's good. I mean, I don't go expecting like New York pizza.
No, no, it's not at all.
I like bar pie, so I'm fine with it.
Anyway, I had a Manhattan, a Cherry Longo's, of course, which was a great decision, I'm sure. That was very good as well. You had some sort of very sweet and kind of tonic flavored something that was not great.
I don't remember what it was called, but it had gin, I think elderflower or lavender, something in it, lemon, and Cointreau. And my big complaint is that it was really sweet, really lemony and really sweet, and it needed more Cointreau to make it more dry because it just did not feel like a balanced cocktail. I mean, I finished it, but your Manhattan was 1,000 times better.
They have two kinds of Manhattans. I remember it was not the original Manhattan. It was the Manhattan from Rome or with Rome or something.
After Jerry Longo's, I guess at this point it's probably like, what, 9:30?
It's probably, yeah, like 9:30 or 10.
And we pretty much just went our separate ways at that point, I think.
Yeah, so for me, because I was in a great state of mind to make really good financial decisions, I walked around a bunch. I couldn't find anything I really wanted to play. And then I'm like, you know what I should do? Should play the $100 squeeze game at Bally's. So I played that for like an hour. It went poorly, predictably poorly. So that wasn't great. I ended up going to bed probably like 10:30 or 11. I went up to the room. So I didn't stay awake for too much longer. By this time, I was already in pretty rough shape.
Going to bed at 10:30 or 11 would have been a good decision for me.
Only to wake up at 1 to have to lie on the bathroom floor, as described.
Right, true. At this point, I went to Caesars. I met up with Table James Games from the Handy at the Shandy podcast, which is a podcast with Trouble Fanboy, a.k.a. Vegas Cheapskate, a.k.a. Adam Bauer, a.k.a. Adam the Fraud, and another guy who goes by Boring Jack. It's a very good show. You should check it out. I actually have another thing to bring up about it related to this trip in a second. So it's good to talk to him. Played some video poker at, I think, at the Toga Bar. But at this point, I actually can't remember where specifically we were playing, which says a lot about the trip. And his wife and another friend were there. It was definitely a Toga Bar. I don't know if I even actually played there, if I just stood there and talked to them for a few minutes. And then wandered around a little bit, ended up back at the Toga Bar, which somehow I've never played at before, even though I love video poker bars. The pay tables are pretty bad, which does not surprise anyone because it's Caesars and it's a video poker bar. They have a red light, green light system, which I know I've played at bars with a red light, green light system before, but I don't think I ever realized that the way the red light, green light system works is it's only based on your recent play. So I sort of thought it's almost like a ticket. You know, like if you're playing on the slot machine with the drink ordering system, a little meter goes up to 100%. And once you've played through, I think it's only $5, it lets you go into the system and order a drink. It might be $10. So I sort of figured it was the same thing. Like it just gets that meter up to that. And then that light stays green until the bartender comes and gives you a drink and actively turns it to red. That is not true at all. It's just calculating if you're actively playing currently. And so if you sit there for a few minutes talking or thinking or not playing or like waiting to order a drink, it will go red. So that's what happened to me. I was sitting there waiting because a ton of people are coming up and ordering drinks. The Stevie Nicks concert had just gotten out to a ton of people at Toga Bar. And it's playing nothing but Stevie Nicks, by the way, nothing but Fleetwood Mac songs. I said last episode, by the way, that we're too young for Stevie Nicks. There were a bunch of women in their 20s in Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks shirts, like bopping along to these Fleetwood Mac songs.
Fleetwood Mac is incredibly popular.
Very, very popular.
And you even admitted that you had recognized all of the songs they put on.
Every song they played, I knew.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, I'm singing along and I know all the words, but I certainly recognized all of them. So Fleetwood Mac, big deal, I guess. Who knew?
I knew.
So I'm sitting at the bar waiting to order a drink. I had already played dozens of hands at this point. And the bartender comes over and I'm like, do you comp even if you're a gold player? Because I know at the 10 North Lounge, they don't comp drinks for gold status Caesars players. And he was like, it doesn't matter what tier you are, but it's a red light, green light system. So if your light's green, you can get a drink and your light's red. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And he's like, but I got you anyway. Like he had clearly seen that I was sitting there playing. So he was cool about it, went and got me a drink. And then again, same thing. I'm sitting there waiting and sort of slow playing because I don't want to blow through all my money before I get another beer, which I clearly needed another high ABV beer at this point. My light went red again. And so he came over. And again, even though my light was red, he went ahead and just got me another drink. So clearly there's a lot of bartender discretion. So if you're a video poker player at the Toga Bar, that's kind of how that works. But it was fascinating to see it. You know, I always hear about red light, green light system and all that stuff, but I've never actually seen how it works. And it's weird that it's actively saying, what are you doing in the last 2 minutes? It's very like, what have you done for me lately on the red light, green light?
And that's not how it works at the slot machines where you have to earn like 10 tier credits and then you're good to get a drink after that point.
I think it's even like one tier credit. It's so few tier credits to be able to get a drink on the slot machine.
I think it's 10, but 10's not very many either, frankly.
And then it times you out for the next 10 minutes, I think. So if you chug your little 6-ounce Coors Light draft, if you're a lowly gold player.
Getting a drink at the showboat. You'll see the tiny cup.
For beers for gold players, I think we've talked about this before. It's Miller Light Draft or Coors Light Draft, and maybe Bud Light Draft. Or you can get a Coors Light bottle. So you got to get the bottle. You can't get the crappy 8-ounce draft cup.
Famously at Showboat, it was all the tiny, tiny cups.
Classic. And then you just end up with a huge stack of those cups.
Yes.
I was playing 7-5 double-double bonus.
Sounds awful. That's truly, I mean, it's even worse than 7-5 jacks or better, so.
Yeah, it's probably like a 95.5% game or something. It's pretty bad.
What was jacks or better? Was it 6-5?
I think it was 6-5. It was really bad.
It's bad.
There, I mean, there's 6-5 everywhere in that casino. And then also the bonus poker full pay. I'm going to say this wrong.
8-5.
So the bonus poker was 8-5, but one on the two pair.
Yeah, it's bad. Just like the jacks are better, that's 9-6 at the Dusk Lounge. That is one for the two pair.
Yeah, up at the Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it hasn't been dusk for like 10 years. Yeah.
And then I went and played Buffalo for like an hour and a half. I sat at the same machine, just kind of hovering around even, got a bunch of bonuses, and just sat there playing, racking up tier credits. And then eventually, of course, ended up losing my entire $100 buy-in, decided that was time to go to bed, and went up and ate part of my Aldi bar. And this was at 2 in the morning, turned on the TV. I was seeing two of everyone on the TV, which is always a good sign. But didn't feel like I needed to throw up. The room was
That's
not
good.
Spinning. None
you were
of that.
Doing better than me at that yeah. point, I think.
That was the point where I was like, tomorrow's I'm going to have some serious regrets. Like, it's 2 in the morning. I'm still very awake because I've been down on the casino floor. Not a good thing. And that was the correct foreshadowing. You woke up. You had started texting me at like 6:45 the next morning.
So I went, I moved my car out of the Noise Arts garage and moved it into Bally's. So I know I mentioned this to you, but we didn't actually say this on the last podcast, but the reason everything was sold out in Atlantic City is because the marathon was on Sunday.
Yes.
And so the marathon is at Bally's. Basically, the start line is right outside the yard. So it's like the headquarters is where the pickup was, I think, the day before, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, literally, there's like 1,000 people just standing in the lobby with their bibs and everything. And it's like, there's never been this many people in the lobby of the Bally's ever.
Yeah, maybe in like 1989.
The line at the Dunkin' was like 200 people long or whatever. I mean, it was insane. But anyway, I went to the Dunkin' not in the Bally's because it was awful. And also, they don't take points. So I went to the Dunkin' on Atlantic Ave and got a tea and then walked to Formica free tag and got some pastries.
We're told it's Formica.
Formica.
Formica Freitag. Uh-huh. It might even be pastries. Formica Freitag. I don't know. But yes, got some pastries.
And went and moved my car back into the Bally's.
How were your pastries? Hungover pastries?
They were good. That store is like generally for people to come in and buy rolls and stuff. Right. Like it's not...
It's a bread store.
It's a bread store more than it is like a traditional bakery with a ton of people coming in and getting pastry. They just had types that I liked less than they usually have. So I got a blueberry muffin and a cookie or something like that, which was fine. I choked it down because I was not feeling good at this point, which was, I think, a good idea. So I did that. I went down. I played video poker for a while. It went just incredibly, incredibly bad. I played a little bit of slots, too. And so between that and the bad decisions made at $100 squeeze game the night before, I was definitely hurting. So I think I went back up to my room at like 8:30 or something like that. And that's around when you woke up and were like, what should we do? And I was like, I mean, I've already eaten and everything. And you know, I take it a little break because my bankroll is not in good shape.
Yeah, I rolled out of bed around 8:45 feeling not good. Went down and got coffee. I should have gotten some sort of pastry as well, but I went to the Starbucks at Caesars. I have to say, the Starbucks in that former dead space does so much to solve that issue because there's always a bunch of people there. It's like really well lit. It's nice. It's new. They have a nice seating area over there. So I ordered with points before I even left the room. When I got down there, my coffee was just sitting there at the perfect temperature because I don't like scalding hot coffee. And so I drank my coffee, took some Advil. I think I played some slots during this point and was just really not feeling great. But the coffee and Advil breakfast was probably a mistake. Like I probably should have ingested something at this point.
And I think you know better, right? Because you always say like you need to choke something down or
yes.
You're just going to feel worse and worse afterwards.
That's pretty much how it went. I went up to the room, I showered, I checked out. The shower in the Forum Tower, before I even got in it, I could see it was not draining very well. So I actually like turned it off for a little bit and waited for it to drain. I got in and just immediately it's like, it never got ankle deep or anything, but it was just always sort of sitting there like over an inch deep, which is really gross.
It's not a good situation.
So I ended up washing everything on me and then literally standing outside of the shower to wash my feet so that I wasn't standing in the gross showers. So I've had that at Harris before.
Famously on episode one, we described that.
Yeah, I think literally the first episode, I think I took an entire shower in the Harrah's old Harbor Tower, not in the shower. I think we had three people in that room who had all, two of them had already showered before me, and I was just like, I'm not getting in the shower.
I remember me and Zach were in the brand new at that time waterfront tower, and everything was great, so.
I could have just been like, I'm going to be home in 12 hours. Like, what? I'm going to be in a smoky casino. Why do I care if I smell bad? Like, I just go home and shower.
For me, half the time when you're that hungover is it just feels nice to be in the shower.
That is the big reason. I couldn't have just gone downstairs without showering. I'd have felt horrible. So I threw myself in my car, checked out.
Yep, me too. I came over and met you at Caesars at that point. You were sitting with Table James Games.
I was, sitting back at the Toga Bar, sat next to him. Actually, was originally just standing there next to him. It's like, oh, the gambling went so bad last night. I'm not really going to play. And then a seat opened up right next to him. It's like, I'll play. Sat there and played for a little bit. Talked about various AC stuff, Vegas stuff. So really nice to meet Table James Games as he goes by on Handy at the Shandy. Then you and I went over to the Bally's Lounge for breakfast / lunch.
So I have to say, just quickly, at Caesars, I came over and I was like, I'm going to go play some tiles. That's what I need in my life. None of the tiles was open at 10 a.m. No, it was 11 a.m. on a Sunday. So it's like, what the hell are they doing?
On a Sunday, on Marathon Day, when everything in Atlantic City is packed.
Unbelievable. So no tiles. Either they had an open Asia poker table or some shit. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. So I went, I played some craps for about 3 minutes and lost $300, which was very, very not good.
Oof.
That's how it goes in craps sometimes. And then I went to the High Limit Room in Caesars and played some of my old faithful video poker
$2 denom video poker. What's the pay table on the $2 denom video poker?
It's not 9.6 anymore. I know that. Is it 9.5? It's either 9.5 or 8.5. It's fine, whatever it is, but it's not like it used to be.
Yeah. Then we headed to the Bally's Lounge where you thought you had a pass to get in.
I did not.
You did not have a pass. You also did not have the prerequisite comp dollars.
Because I had gotten $125 of comps for coming to Bally's, but I'd used them all at Jerry Longo's the night before.
So she was basically like, we shouldn't let you in. I mean, you are the correct tier to get in. At resorts, you don't even have the tier to get in. They just gave you the pass, right?
Right. They just gave me a pass to get in.
So I thought it was the same thing at Bally's.
No, I'm the right tier. I just didn't have the comps. She mentioned I had this pass that expired in January, which I didn't know that it had such a quick... Because when I matched, they're like, yeah, well, you have two free entries to the lounge as part of like matching. But apparently, she said it expires in 7 days or 14 days, which, by the way, the Bally's Lounge is open 2 days a week. So it's not that easy to use, especially because I matched on a weekday. So
you've given your opinion of the Resorts Lounge being much better than the Bally's Lounge.
Uh-huh.
If anybody had been to the Bally's Lounge when it was still part of Caesars, they've redone everything in there.
Yeah.
It's got this huge curving bar that's very cool.
I don't know if that bar is new. I think that was the same bar as was there in the old lounge.
But they've redone everything else.
Okay.
All new fixtures.
Yep.
The huge windows overlooking the ocean are normally great, except at that point in the morning, the sun is just
very
right off the ocean and right into your face. So it was extremely bright in there.
Uh-huh.
Much bigger buffet than the resorts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more food options than resorts. Service not as great.
No, service was worse, and I thought the food was worse.
You thought the food was... I thought the food was good.
My hot dog was good.
The hot dog, well, we'll get into that. So one thing, again, at this point, I'm feeling really not great, but I'm like, I have to get something in me. So I go, I get a plate of breakfast potatoes, eggs, some sort of pastry.
Truly the most disgusting looking French toast I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was like French toast with strawberry jam and cream cheese.
It was strawberry shortcake French toast or something. Yeah.
It looked terrible. It tasted pretty good. And then I got a pastry and the pastry was just downright bad, but I still scarfed it down. And then for some reason, feeling horrible at this point and looking at food and just thinking like, oh man, I don't think I can really eat anything else. But I was like, we got into this lounge. They shouldn't have let us in anyway. Why wouldn't I eat lunch literally 6 minutes after eating breakfast when I feel terrible? This seems like the perfect decision. I think I justified it in my head as like, well, you're going to feel worse right away, but you're going to feel better for having eaten a bunch of calories. So I go up and I get some sort of meat pasta, citrus chicken, basically like...
Yeah, it's like orange chicken, basically.
Very fried orange chicken balls.
I thought they were good.
And a hot dog. Was that it? I think that was all I got.
That was it. That was it.
I scarfed down the pasta. I'm like, it's kind of bland. It's not great. I eat the orange chicken, and I think I'm on my like third orange chicken ball, and my stomach just turns. I was just like, no. And I'm sitting there staring at a hot dog, just like looking down at my plate, just so sad, staring at this hot dog with mustard and relish and onions.
If you remember, you had to at that point to try to smear off all the mustard and relish that you put on the hot dog.
I can't take this much flavor. Like, this is too much. At this point, somebody walks by with just a giant plate of food right by our table, and I'm just looking at that food like, no, I can't do it. Get a water from the waitress, drink some of the water, give me like 2 minutes to settle my stomach, and we'll see how I go. Ended up eating half the hot dog. It was a very good hot dog. If I go again, I would just eat nothing but hot dogs and hopefully not be super hungover.
It was incredible.
I was actually fairly impressed with the Bally's Lounge in general, except for maybe the server not being as super fast as the guy at Resorts. I thought it was nicer than the Resorts Lounge.
I mean, the server was huge amounts worse than the one at Resorts. I thought the food was a bit worse also. Nothing was great there, and I think breakfast food is much easier to do than dinner food. I mean, don't get me wrong, the eggs were fine. It was the same as you would get at the Hampton Inn. Dark chicken was pretty good. I thought it was the best thing there. Like you said, the pasta was, I didn't think it was very good, frankly. Like, I thought the pasta at Resorts was much better the night before.
Oh, I thought the pasta at Resorts was flat out bad, but.
What else was there?
I don't know. Pastries.
I mean, they were bad pastries, frankly. I thought the salad was much better at Resorts as well. I mean, the space is much nicer. There's a lot more room, right? Everything's much more spread out. Everything's quite cramped in Resorts, I think.
Oh, it's very cramped in Resorts, yeah.
The area is nicer in Bally's, but I enjoyed my Resorts VIP lounge experience as a whole more.
We also didn't get drinks at the Bally's Lounge, which I feel like changes your lounge experience a little bit.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I'm curious to know how good the drinks are there, because we were obviously both not in any circumstance to be taking more drinks at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool to go back and sit at the bar and get a drink. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a fun time. But I was impressed. I was really impressed, because the rest of Bally's does not feel like you're going to end up in, like, a high... class sort of lounge situation, and then you go in there and it's like, oh, this is really nice.
At this point, we leave the Bally's Lounge and go down, and I'm like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play slots? Hey, there's open $25 face-up pie gal. Do you want to do that? And you're just like, I need to leave. And so you just left and went out on the beach.
I was in dire need of the medicinal effects that Dr. Jonathan Pitney talked about in the founding of Atlantic City. I also only had $100 left in my wallet, so I was like, I don't really want to sit down and play four hands of Pai Gao, and then I'm just out of money, and I guess I'm going home. So, you played some face-up Pai Gao.
Bad decision, by the way. I did very bad at that face-up Pai Gao.
I walked out. The second that real non-casino air hit me, I was just like, oh, fantastic.
I mean, it couldn't have been nicer on Sunday, also, it must be said.
Exactly what Dr. Jonathan Pitney was talking about. Decided to walk out onto the beach. There were people sitting out on the beach, like not fully, you know, with towels and umbrellas, but we're just hanging out. And I walked all the way out to the ocean, and I was like, I'm going to touch the ocean. And I was like, this could end up with my shoes getting all wet. This is probably a mistake. And then literally, as I get there, a big wave comes in, like, run. No. I put a finger in the ocean and texted you a picture so I can say that I went into the Atlantic Ocean on this trip. And started to feel a little better at that point. I was like, okay, I needed some air. I needed to not be in Bally's Casino.
Then at this point, again, I'm like, what do you want to do? Do you want to just go to South Beach or Beer Garden or something? And you're like, yeah, let's do that.
We walked all the way down to South Beach Beer Garden, which is past.
With you complaining the whole time about how bad this makes you feel, the walk-in.
Then the fresh air plus the walking. I was not feeling great.
Well, I have to say, there was like a 30-mile-an-hour wind in our face the whole
time. There was.
Which was refreshing in some sense.
Yeah, so we get to South Beach Beer Garden. It is closed. I don't know
if it's
just
closed.
Seasonal. I'm assuming it means it's seasonal because it was a very nice Sunday in October.
Right.
But the beer garden was open, so we walked back.
Well, but first you had to take some pictures of the Dizzy Dolphin, and then we walked back.
Oh, man, there was the old Atlantic Club is in some rough shape, I gotta say.
I told you at the time, but every time I see, like, articles from the guys who own the Atlantic Club and are trying to sell it, and they're like, every time we take people in, people are like, wow, this is in really great shape still, or whatever. I'm like, they're just lying.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, it's possible that the interior is in very good shape. The exterior is in very bad shape.
I don't believe it, seeing the exterior.
We walked back towards the beer garden, sat down, each got a half liter of beer. Very smart. Uh-huh. I have to say, the beer settled my stomach quite a bit. That was a great...
That's what you needed. Hair of the dog.
Great decision.
Uh-huh. I felt like I was sitting there for like 45 minutes waiting for you to finish your beer, because I don't know if you were still in great shape, but...
No, I definitely was not. I mean, to be fair, you cannot sit in any one place for more than 20 minutes.
I
so it's probably like 25 minutes and not 45 minutes, but you were finished with your beer and just...
I had to wait for quite a while because you could not drink your beer.
Quite a while is relative, but we don't need to get into that.
Go ahead.
Some people like to, you know, sit and enjoy their beer, and by enjoy, I mean cry about how bad I feel. So then we headed back up to Bally's.
Well, I went to Bally's and you went to Caesars, right?
Yeah, I went up to Caesars to check my rewards credits and play a few slots with my last amount of money I had in my wallet. Played some Huff and Puff, went bad. Played some weird 88 Fortunes game that went bad. You went and played Baccarat, right?
I went back to the scene of the crime the night before and played some $100 squeeze game.
Why?
Well, for one thing, I have to say about Bally's, on Sunday morning, there were not very many tables open at all. There may have been a craps table open by this point, but certainly earlier in the morning when I was walking around, there was no craps open, there was no Pai Gow open, there was just nothing open at all. So that wasn't great, but I'm like, do I squeeze in at one of these crowded tables of blackjack, or don't I play the squeeze game? And I'm like, well, of course I want to play a squeeze game. So I took my last few $100 bills out of my wallet and sat down at the squeeze game. And yeah, I just played one shoe there, which was probably an hour, and it went incredibly, incredibly well.
Before you sat down, were you thinking, you know what? I am due for a win.
I was due for a win, certainly.
And you had quite a win.
It was a big one.
Did it swing you all the way back to up for the trip?
I was up for the trip.
Insane.
Probably up less than you might think for the trip, given the picture I sent you, but I was up for the trip, yes.
That's amazing. That actually reminds me of what my would you rather was going to be, which was, would you rather start the trip with a huge win that is just getting whittled away the entire rest of the trip, and then you end up even, or just be generally losing the whole trip and end with that big hitter to get you all the way back to even?
Mm-hmm.
This is bonus would you rather.
I don't have that strong of feelings about it either way. I mean, I think psychologically it's better to get the big win at the end.
Absolutely. I have to say, on the end hit.
About getting a big win at the beginning and then whittling it down, you will play more games than, you know, all things being equal, for if you A, enjoy sitting at tables and playing, and B, it's good for comps to get the big win up front.
Hmm. Yeah, when I was thinking about this, I was like, I would much rather have the hit at the end. Or even, like, I've had a bunch of trips where I'm losing, 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 and then I get the nice bounce back, even if it's just $100 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think you make a really good point. Okay, yes, it feels better after the trip. You have more fondness in your mind because you had that bounce back. During the actual trip, when you have that big hit at the start and the feeling throughout the trip of, you know, I'm playing with house money.
Obviously.
Definitely a real thing.
Right.
But that feeling that you have some freedom to do some things maybe you wouldn't normally do. Like this trip, you asked to play face up Pai Gow, which I might have considered. Haha, you're right. But I was like, I literally have four hands of this in my wallet and I can't do it. Whereas if I'd had a big hit at the start of the trip, then absolutely, why not? So I think it improves the trip to have the big hit at the start. Although it does suck to leave and you're like, oh man, I could have gone home with money.
But it improves your psyche to get the big hit at the end.
Not just your psyche, but your readiness to go back right after the trip when you get that big hit at the end, which is weird.
I agree with that. I mean, even me, who is more impervious than most to like feeling like, oh, I just can't win or whatever. There's certainly been times even on the podcast where I've been like, I've lost literally the last 10 trips in a row. This is stupid. I'm just wasting my money.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it does make a difference knowing that it is possible. I think I'm more willing than most people to take a shot. And like I said, I only had a few $100 left in my wallet.
And you went for it.
I went for it,
and it paid off.
I mean, it's so easy, you know? You got to find the pattern and follow the pattern.
Exactly.
It's obvious what's going to come next.
You need to know when your red light, green light for being due for a win is green.
Due for banker or due for player. That's it.
Great hit for you. At this point, I think you headed out.
I think, by the way, that was probably my second biggest cash out at a table ever.
Wow.
Only behind maybe playing craps with Dr. Mike at National Harbor that one time.
Nice.
So,
congrats.
It was a big one. It was a big one.
At that point, you know, I was playing Buffalo with my last $20. So what happened before I went to the Buffalo machine is I swiped my card to see if any free play or anything activated at noon, which none of it did. But the thing that did activate was a free gift. And I couldn't tell what the gift was, but it listed five things, one for every Sunday in October. And they're all like yard stuff. I needed 29 more tier credits. And I was like, 29 tier credits is $145 mm-hmm. of coin in. $20 got a slot machine. There is no guarantee you're getting anywhere close to that. In fact, yep. my previous $20 earned me 4 tier credits on an 88 fourth inch machine. So, and I was like, you know what? I'll go play at my Buffalo machine I like with my last 20 and see how it goes. Immediately hit a $100 bonus. And then I'm like, all right, I'm getting these tier credits. I'm good to go. Ended up 40, so gave a decent amount of that money back. But I got my 29 tier credits. I was really hoping the gift was going to be these pathway lights, which is what lined up with if you went down the list of the possible gifts in order with the date order. October 19th is the solar pathway lights, which I desperately need for my house. And I can't just go to Home Depot and buy them for $40. That would be insane. I have to go win them with tier credits. So I have exactly the right amount of tier credits. I'm like, yes, this was a win. I swipe my card and it's like, you've got a 50-foot accordion garden hose.
I told you, I really want that hose. If you want to, you can give it to me next time you see me. Can be my Christmas present.
I brought it home and I was actually, I sort of talked myself into it. Our hose under the deck is in really rough shape.
No, I need a new hose. My hose is in bad shape.
And then Andrea's like, why did you get a hose? I was like, it was free. Not telling her that I had to play a bunch of coin in to get it. But
mine was better. I got some king size sheets when we don't have a king size bed at Bally's. So
were they only available in king? Why did they?
Yep, king.
That's so weird. I do have a king size bed. We should swap gifts.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, so didn't get my solar lights, got hosed instead.
Literally.
And you were on the way home at this point, and I was like, you know what? I got about 45 minutes before I leave. I really wanted to check out the new-ish Dave & Buster's out behind Caesars. So walked out there. One thing I saw on the corner across from Dave & Buster's is the old Ruby Tuesdays is going to become Simpson Restaurant, which, as you know, was in the ACX1.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently closed in August and is going to reopen at the old Ruby Tuesday in January. So that's a thing that's happening. Walked into the Dave & Buster's. My immediate thought was like, wow, it's really crowded in here. And then I looked around more and it was like, it's just loud in here because of all the football on TVs and all the games. It was not super crowded in there. It's a weird Dave & Buster's because it feels more like a sports bar. The games area is actually pretty small. I mean, it's not tiny, but there's not as many games as like the one near me in Wayne in New Jersey. It did not have my favorite game, Baseball Pro, where you pull the bat back and you hit like a pinball into an area. But it did have Bobbleheads Baseball, which is also very good. Immediately hit the jackpot on Bobbleheads Baseball, hit a jackpot on some other machine, hit a jackpot on... So like even though my gambling went bad, my arcade playing was on point. And so I used my 50th birthday credits to hit multiple jackpots and earn 2,500 tickets.
Is that good?
For my kids to use. I mean, it's good for 50 game credits.
Yeah, nice.
It was also half-price games on Sunday, so if you're going to go to Dave & Buster's, that's the time to do it. The coin pusher games are absurdly expensive, by the way. It's like 12 credits per game. Do not do the math on how much that costs every time you're shooting coins into the coin pusher. But at half-price, it's a good deal. And so I did hit a jackpot on like a Avengers coin pusher game. Fun time for a quick stop-in. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I don't think I would ever go there with Lucky Snake down the street. Like, Lucky Snake's just a way bigger arcade. There's just way more games. There's more games that are actually games and not just ticket games.
I'm sure it's going to close at some point soon.
The Lucky Snake or the Dave & Buster's?
The Lucky Snake.
To make room for something else exciting that they can't tell us about?
Right. Something that they will set up and then never actually open to the public.
Yeah. So then I walked back to the car, got in, drove home, didn't have any traffic.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I know I mentioned this to you, I had no traffic either way, so it's like 3.5 hours for me with all the stops and everything that I make and taking Route 40, et cetera, et cetera. So that was quite pleasant. I mean, I ended up, given that I have 2 hours more in the car than you do, I think, getting home after you, despite you going to Dave & Buster's and everything.
Yeah, that really hammered home how much longer the trip is for you than me, because I finished playing my Buffalo game, got my gift, walked all the way out to Dave & Buster's, which is not actually that far. It's like literally right behind the Caesars parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Played for, I don't know, 30 minutes and then walked back to the car and got in the car and drove home. And then you were not home for another like 30 minutes after I got home. It was like very surprising to me, but
it's like 3.5 for me. I could make it less if I only took the highways and if I maybe only stopped once to pee and maybe get a snack instead of stopping for a few snacks, et cetera. But that's not what I do. Also, I drive very, very slow. Truly, if there's anything that my wife ends up murdering me or divorcing me about, it's like she just hates riding with me in the car because she thinks I drive too slow.
One thing I'll say about driving is we said last episode, Route 40 versus the expressway. Pat G emailed saying that he always takes Route 40 now, and I defended him. But on this trip, I was actually going down the parkway. And I was like, I'm going to take Route 40. And you have to pass the expressway to get to Route 40 going south. And I was like, I'm already so much later than I thought I was going to be. I can't spare those 5 minutes. So I got on the expressway and just got into town.
It's surely got to be more than 5 minutes. But yeah.
It's probably 10. Yeah, general trip thoughts. How do you feel about it other than just being still hungover now 6 days later?
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, obviously the big one is just I just didn't need to drink that much. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I texted Table James Games in the morning saying, oh, because he asked if we were going to make it to Gilchrist. And I think I texted him at like 11. Like, yeah, we didn't make it to Gilchrist. It may not have been that late. But I texted him saying, yeah, my breakfast was coffee and Advil. And he's like, yeah, sucks getting old. I think I said this when I was talking to him. The real like sucks getting old is when you go to the casino and you have like 4 drinks over 8 hours and you wake up feeling bad the next day. And you're like, I had a drink every 2 hours. Like, why do I feel bad? This makes no sense. I didn't even earn it. Let me tell you, I earned this one.
Oh, no, I earned how I felt on Saturday night.
Normally, I'm really good about cutting myself off and being like, you know what, you're going to feel sick. Like, don't do it. Because I sort of had a realization like 5 years ago, I think, that I feel worse the next day than I feel good when I drink that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I went so far over. And I was like, wow, how did I let myself do that? But, you know, in the moment, you're having a good time. I mean, the IPAs at the Toga Bar were delicious. They just were hitting the spot.
I was definitely having fun on Saturday night, for sure.
In retrospect, no regrets, I guess. Maybe like 2 drinks worth of regrets. I could add 2 less.
Certainly, I regret having that old-fashioned at Caesars. That was bad.
Yeah.
But
I don't believe in rehashing it and saying, like, you know, if only I didn't do XYZ. You know, you made the decisions at the time.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good trip. It was a great trip, frankly.
Whereas I fully believe in rehashing your gambling and saying, if only I didn't do XYZ. That's like a good time for everybody.
Just like me every time being like, if only I didn't play video poker, think of how much money I would have won.
Yes, I will talk about that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Monday was my birthday. I took the day off from work. I dropped the kids off at school, came home, and fell asleep until noon. And still, even at dinner for my birthday, still did not feel great. Like my stomach was still like, do I really want this sushi? I don't know.
It's good.
That was that. One thing I'll say about the video poker, or the regrets about the video poker. And this is where I'll give a huge shout out to the Handy at the Shandy podcast, because they talked about this in detail. Boring Jack went into great detail to really explain, I think it's in episode 7, part 2, about the video poker pay tables and why you lose more now that they're all worse than full pay. Like, it used to be you could find full pay at Quarters, readily available. There were plenty of them at Caesars. I sound like an old man. Back in my day, I played 9-6 and it was nothing. Now it's extremely hard to find 9-6, especially at the quarter level. And so I won't steal all of their content. You should go listen to it. But it really made me realize that I need to get better about picking my video poker games. Because, okay, yeah, you're playing 8-5 instead of 9-6, which is about 2.2% worse return. But the biggest point that I think you should take away from the Handy of the Shandy episode is that since you're playing so much coin in at a video poker machine, even me at a quarter, so $1.25 a hand, since you're ripping through hands so fast, the actual expected loss is so much higher. It's not like blackjack even, which is a pretty fast table game, right? Where you sit there at a $15 table and maybe you play what? I don't know. 20 hands in 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think like a hand a minute is reasonable, depending on how many people are there.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one or two people there, I've certainly played Hard Rock in Vegas and the dealer was like lightning fast. But in video poker, you can be playing like 30 hands a minute, right? Like you can plow through hands.
Probably not that many.
Bet it's close.
If you see me play video poker, I'm quite fast, but
I bet you play 30 hands a minute, between 20 and 30.
I don't think I play 2 seconds a hand. That's pretty quick. Three, maybe.
Three?
Four? 15 hands a minute?
But even at $1.25, the amount of coin in that is, right, adds
right,
up
well,
really fast. So if you play 200 hands in 10 minutes at $1.25, that's $250 coin.
I've got the experience because, like, I did Diamond in a Day, which was $50,000 coin in at $10 a hand, so 5,000 hands. That took quite a while. It took 6 hours or something like that. It was a while.
My big takeaway is I need to get better about picking my video poker games because I've had this thought of video poker has gone so bad for me lately and I love playing video poker. It's my favorite game in the casino. But I'm sure if you look at my losses. That is just what's killing me, even more than slots, is just the video poker. And it's because I think I had a lot of luck early on in my video poker career of hitting multiple royals, and I haven't hit a royal in years and years and years. So there's variance there. But also, like, the game has gotten worse. And when you're playing in an hour session over $1,000 coin in, I would think, even at a $1.25 level, on 95% or 96% payback, you're expected to lose a good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Also, switching to double-double bonus, where the two pair only pays one back, really means you're relying on four of a kind.
You're increasing your variance quite a lot. Yeah. It looks like if my, this was 5,000 hands, and if it was 6 hours, it's like a hand every 4 seconds, 15 hands a minute.
Episode 7, part 2, go listen to that whole conversation. He explains it much, much better than I just did, and will sort of give you a better idea of what it means to have those percentages in video poker. And that sort of plays into some thoughts on my bankroll management, which is because I came into this trip thinking, like, I'm going to bring less money and do some stuff outside of the casino. And I think we did a decent amount of not gambling stuff in that we mm-hmm. ate and drank a lot at lounges.
But a lot of it was in the casino.
Right.
Yeah.
But I only ended up bringing maybe $100 less than I normally do. And I had a totally typical loss trip for me, or maybe slightly more.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of was thinking, I can't really justify these trips as cheap trips if I'm going to lose $200 a day or whatever it is that it comes out to be.
Yeah.
Except that I think literally the only things that I paid for, and by I mean we, and we were splitting, and I do still owe you money for Jerry Longo's, are Irish pub Guinness.
Yep. $6.
The beer at the beer garden.
Yeah, I think you paid for that. I have no idea how much that was.
I think it was like $8.
Uh-huh.
After tip, I think. Mm-hmm. And then the overage on Jerry Longo's beyond your comps.
Yeah.
And tips. I think that is all I paid for.
And to be clear, the overage at Jerry Longo's was like $30 and was all tip, basically.
Right.
Like my 125 credit basically covered all the food.
Yeah, and then I guess gas and tolls. And then, so like everything else, room comped.
So you got the drinks at Super Freako.
On my Caesars comps at Super Freako. Yeah, that was with my comps. I mean, mooched off you for everything else. Lounge.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think to be clear, I lose much more than $200 a day in Atlantic City. And we got two free meals on Saturday night and free breakfast on Sunday because of my losings. So
thank you for that. I appreciate just being able to ride your coattails and do all that. But yeah, it's funny because I sort of think like, oh, it's an expensive trip, but is it? I disconnect the gambling budget so much from the rest of the trip budget. But if you went on a trip and you said it was going to be, you know, $200 or $250 a day, including hotel.
Yeah, that's fine. Right.
That's a cheap trip.
I mean, again, you couldn't have gotten entrance to those lounges or the Jerry Longo's dinner comped through your normal play. I mean, I know you've got a lot of Caesars and MGM comps just from other reasons, but
yeah, I mean, if I really wanted to play the game, I could have gotten meals comped at Caesars or gone out to Borgata and got a meal comped and, you know, done my Vegas to make sure I got more comp dollars and done other stuff to make sure I got more comp dollars at Caesars. But like, I don't feel like doing all that stuff. I'll smooch off you instead.
Right. Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm happy to have you there to chat with. So
I'm happy to have you there to mooch off.
That's right. So we both win.
All right. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I played zero table games again.
As always. I mean, I tried to twist your arm into playing a completely empty $25 face-up pie-gow table, and you were having none of it, and then you're like, I need to leave right now.
I'll have one last thought about the trip, which is I played zero table games, partly because of bankroll management, but also I had a realization before the trip that I was thinking about craps and how I used to really like craps at the $5 and $10 level when that was a thing.
Craps doesn't seem like the game for you, I think.
But craps or blackjack, less so Pai-Gao tiles and Pai-Gao poker because they're slower. But my feeling while I'm sitting at both a craps or a blackjack table is just pure stress. And even if I win $500, the only feeling I feel when I win at a table game is relief that that stress is over. And so if that is the case, then I should not play, right? Like, there's no reason to put that on myself if I don't like it.
I think given what we've been talking about, and like given the fact that you've changed to double-double bonus, which is a much higher variance game, and you'll get downswings way more often than you will in jacks or better. I don't know how that's any different than certainly blackjack and craps are higher variance than face-up Pai-Gao especially, which is just the lowest variance.
Because I don't feel that stress while I'm playing it.
You just can't win unless you get big hands in double-double bonus.
It's totally a psychological thing of the machine. It's a win for the casino that they have figured this out.
I mean, I think for you also, you can disagree if you want, but the fact that table games by design involve another human, adds another element of stress for you. Or in a way, it doesn't for me, because I just don't care about other humans, really.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Certainly crafts, for sure. I think another big part of it is just the buy-in. Like, I can buy in at a video poker machine for $20, and I may pump more 20s into it, but I have it in the back of my head of, like, I can leave after $20. I can hit cash out at any point, whereas the initial buy-in at a table game is daunting to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the stressor on top of the people stuff. So clearly I don't like gambling at all and shouldn't have an Atlantic City podcast.
You like playing some shitty video poker. Shitty slots, I mean. And also shitty video poker, frankly.
I really loved my Buffalo collection sessions. It was just classic Buffalo, where it's like, you're going to get one bonus where you get, you know, keeps re-triggering and you get $80, and you're going to get five bonuses where you get $1.75.
Do you want a story that will just give you anxiety now just for me telling it?
Go for it.
So I'm at the Bach table. This is Sunday morning, right? I always sit at an empty table first.
You love it.
I'd rather sit at an empty table than somewhere with people. This woman sits down next to me and we're chatting, and she's giving me money for me to bet for her, which is pretty normal at these games. I think it happens in Horseshoe and Baltimore quite frequently as well. So the pit boss comes over and starts yelling at this lady and is like, don't do that ever again. We've already talked to you about this. And like, she starts yelling at me, like, do not ever make a bet for her.
Oh, God.
And so
the pit boss is yelling at you?
Yeah, the pit boss
is
just yelling at everyone. And then eventually, like, the lady gets up and leaves and goes to another table, which is apparently her thing. But then the pit boss came over and is like, she just stiffs people all the time. Like, she will say, make this bet for me, and then not pay them back. And she did pay me back for everything that I did. So I have no complaints, but props to them for protecting me or whatever, though I think it could have been done in like a slightly nicer way, because I was just like confused at first.
Right.
Again, that is pretty normal behavior for these Asia rooms.
So wait, she's like, make this bet for me with your chips.
Yeah.
I would be like, not a chance. I do not know you. I don't know the etiquette of these Asian rooms.
I mean, the ethics of the Asia room is that like, that's pretty normal. Frankly, I think that the dealer should have said something if she knew about this person. She should have been like, no, don't do that. But because this person was obviously pretty well known there.
Yeah, I would have been extremely flustered even before the pit boss came over. I would have been flustered by the ask.
Doesn't that story just fill you with dread and anxiety?
It's so outside of even what I can comprehend that it doesn't.
Okay.
Even their initial ask, I would have been like, ugh.
I mean, I don't know. It's like half the joy of the Asia room.
I do have to say, one thing I miss in my playing of table games is it's just great sitting at a Paigao poker or Paigao tiles table with a bunch of people who are into it and really interested in like how you're setting your hand, and like they want to help you out and stuff. I mean, not so much in Paigao poker, because you can auto set. There's like no messing it up, almost, unless I'm telling Dave what to do and messing him up, which he still likes to remind me of all the time. But good trip. Drink less next time. I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so through Facebook group, facebook.com/group/2forawin. Find all of our great content at 2forawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at 2forawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at 2forawin@gmail.com, and we will get to them on air, perhaps even next episode, when there probably won't be much news.
We have news already. It's just not in there.
Yeah. Good trip. We need to go in December, man.
I don't think that's going to happen.
December.
Pessimism.
We go every December.
We have historically gone every December.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll talk to you all in a few weeks.
We didn't get a Negroni the whole trip. What a mistake.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That would have really pushed Saturday over the top, I think.
Also, just to be clear, we shouldn't have like replaced one cocktail with a Negroni. We should have added
yeah, right.
a Negroni onto the drinking.